Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and we're about 5 months into the coronavirus pandemic here in the United States, and cases are on the rise in many states. In the meantime, the race for a vaccine continues. In May, the Trump administration launched Operation Warp Speed, a partnership between government agencies and drug companies that are trying to develop a vaccine by early 2021. And the government is spending billions of dollars trying to make that happen. Katie Thomas covers the business of healthcare for the New York Times, and she joins us now. Katie, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So how many companies are trying to create a vaccine right now? What is Operation Warp Speed?
Well, around the world, researchers are developing more than 145 different vaccines against the coronavirus. And Operation Warp Speed is the Trump administration's effort to try and bring a vaccine to the public as quickly as possible, perhaps before the end of the year.
We said that they're spending billions of dollars, and that's billions with the B. Is that scale comparable with past vaccine efforts? I mean, have we ever seen that much investment in something like this before?
No, this is really unlike anything in recent memory. You know, what normally happens is vaccines can take, they usually take years to develop. And one of the things that Operation Warp Speed and others are doing to try and speed this along is that as the clinical trials are going through, at the same time that these vaccines are entering the late stage clinical trials, the companies are getting paid by the federal government and others to actually ramp up their manufacturing and start making these vaccines before they even know if it works.
You said there were about 145 different vaccines in the making right now. Where does the U.S. stand compared to where the rest of the world stands in terms of trying to develop a vaccine right now?
Well, I mean, it really is a global effort because obviously any vaccine that succeeds, you know, in one country could potentially, if everyone works together, you know, vaccinate and everyone. China is probably slightly ahead in the sense that they have a couple of vaccines that are in late stage trials. They actually have one that they have approved for the use by the military. Now, of course, in other countries compared to the U.S., they have different rules and different standards for what they deem as a safe and effective vaccine, and the U.S. will have to evaluate that on its own. The U.S. is giving probably the most money by far of any other country or entity, you know, in the world to try and make these vaccines become a reality.
There are two companies here, Moderna and Novavax, that the federal government has been giving money to. Those two companies have never brought a product to market. Katie, why is the government assuming that this time it'll be different for these two companies?
Yeah, I mean, it just highlights how this whole thing is really a huge gamble. And I think the thinking of the federal government is that they want to bet on multiple horses at the same time. They know how unpredictable vaccines are, the development of vaccines are. We never know if something's going to work until it actually goes through clinical trials. And so what they're doing is they're giving money to an array of different vaccines that are made by different companies and that have different technologies. Moderna makes this vaccine that is based on a genetic technology, and it's been doing it with the NIH. And even though they've never brought a vaccine to trial, they have kind of a newer technology that in theory can kind of be put together more quickly and developed more quickly than more traditional vaccines. And Novavax, I mean, it is a good question. They've never brought a vaccine to market. They're working on a technology that's a little bit more established, and is one that kind of wasn't really in the U.S. government's portfolio before. So again, just in if you're thinking about trying to kind of place multiple bets, you wanna give money to different companies that are trying different things.
Katie, I'm sure you're following that there are starting to be folks who are dealing with the long-term effects of coronavirus and COVID-19 who are struggling to pay for their treatment across the country. Insurance bills are starting to come in. For Americans who are anticipating, and I'm sure everyone around the world is really anticipating a vaccine, do we have any sense of whether insurances will be expected to cover these vaccines, how much the vaccines will end up costing? Americans right now are, their faith in the drug industry is shaky given how much drug prices have skyrocketed. So what are we expecting in terms of cost?
Yes, and it's very much not sorted out, I will say. We don't know yet. One thing though is that the Affordable Care Act did require that certain types of preventative care are covered with no out-of-pocket costs. So presumably, if there is a vaccine that works and is safe and effective, and if you have any kind of health insurance, you won't pay any out-of-pocket for your vaccine. But I think it's really an open question about if you don't have insurance, who will pay for it, how much will it cost? And also broader questions about just cost to the system. How much will these companies charge the insurers for the vaccines? Because someone is paying for it.
Got about a minute left in the segment. I'm wondering, where do clinical trials stand right now?
So we have several trials that are underway. There, according to our New York Times vaccine tracker, we've got 15 vaccines that are in what's called phase one, which is a safety trial. And then we have 14 that are in either in phase two or phase three, which are the much broader so-called efficacy trials that test the vaccine in a broad population to understand whether it works and also what the side effects could be.
We know a lot of people here and around the world are waiting for this vaccine. Katie Thomas covers the business of healthcare for the New York Times. Katie, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.